My name is Dana McKnight. I'm the founder of Dreamland and at the moment the acting president of the board. So I studied at the Minerva Kunstakademie in Groningen. It was a sort of medium-sized like art school. It's just like, you know, you would find the Pratt's in like Amsterdam. This was kind of just like Hans Hogeschool is like a state-based university, so kind of like UB or so. Formal training primarily through Dutch professors who would like occasionally oscillate between Dutch and English for me, but all the classes were in Dutch. Those that did speak in English were just doing it out of kindness. So that was pretty interesting. I'm trained in sculpture and multimedia. I'm also a writer of poetry, but also fantasy fiction because I'm a hyper nerd. So yeah, like my formal training is in sculpture and blacksmithing. And due to lack of resources, I've pretty much gone into like 2D media and woodblock printing. And pretty much anything I can get my hands on in terms of making my personal visions come to a tangible sort of space. So the medium doesn't necessarily matter for me. So the artist residency program we created as an accessible program. So even though we don't have like the stipends or the grants to give artists like money to like actually like come over, we make it extremely accessible. So it's $300, well, between 200 and 300. And last year we actually got a grant to like lessen that cost from Embrace Western New York, who's amazing. And then like the entire point of the residency program is for artists who are already established in like a particular medium to explore, and even if they're not, they still can. So it's an open access like residency program, but primarily geared like we're more into individuals who are in the minority and of disadvantageous economic strata to have access to a residency than anyone else. So if a queer person comes in and is like, I would like to use your residency program to do blah 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 blah, blah someone who is like straight and cis and white and male comes in and says the same thing, we're more likely to give it to someone who probably wouldn't have access to it, whether it be queer, brown, undocumented, or whatnot. A woman, you know. And we're like pretty heavy on resource allocation. So we've noticed that the majority of residency programs that aren't funded are expensive as hell to get access to. And so like it was kind of wild that like when we first opened up like the concept of the residency program, we started like putting it out there, we got so many requests. Like we've got like some queer folks coming in from Italy, like Vancouver, the Bay Area, Iran. That may be a problem now. She was here, the artist and president, I'm not gonna actually like give her name, but she was in the States, amazing artist, like finishing up her like PhD actually. And she sought us out because she liked the space and she wanted to experience winter because she was living in New Orleans, like actually finishing like another residency. She was finishing her dissertation. And she found our program just through like a search engine where we had like pushed our stuff in, and she was hyper excited and her work was amazing. And that's the problem with fascism. And like, I think people don't really understand what happens when you have an immigration ban and what that means for the culture. Because we created the residency program not just to give access, artists access, but also to bring new blood into Buffalo. I mean, like, everyone likes to talk about the Buffalo Renaissance, but unless, like, it's an accessible renaissance where it's, like, artists who are internationally renowned coming in to, like, actually share their craft, then what's the fucking point? There isn't one, you know? All right, so you're an artist. We're, like I said, we're really down for artists of color who are queer and or women. You apply, we look at your portfolio, and then we ask you what you would like to do in your 3.5 weeks of the residency. So the residency is $200 to $300, like soft scale range. It ends either in a workshop or it like follows with a art show, or you can do both. And the workshop is designed so that the actual community of Buffalo can have access to like the artists as an apprenticeship, a former mini temporary apprenticeship sort of series. And then like the closing show. So it's $300 for a room to stay in, all the benefits of like living downtown and also having access to all the art shows that are happening here. And we try to do it on first Fridays. So like the residency artist comes in on the first Friday of the month, which is also like the gallery walk that happens in Allentown. So they come in, they can meet a ton of other artists in the area, see kind of what the vibe of Buffalo is, and then like they can begin working. And they've got like full access. We've bought like a bed, like it's all white walled space, so it's full tabula rasa style, like they can do whatever they want. And their entire purpose is like, Dreamland's a cozy place, like we intentionally make it that way, you know? So we want you to experiment as an artist in a space that's not gonna give you the flack that a lot of academic spaces do and like discourse spaces. It's like, you know, if you're afraid to fuck up, you're not gonna create. Like, and that is kind of the biggest case for like the majority of younger artists, and not even younger artists, artists across the board I've met. Like, unless you can like destroy that like that terror, like you're not going to be able to keep producing work for your own personal, that was my phone, sorry. You're not gonna be able to keep producing work for yourself, and art should be for yourself first and foremost, and like then the community secondary. The people here are amazing. I'm just gonna say it. Like, the Buffalo arts community here is freaking phenomenal. And it's like this amazing melding of like queer folks and black and brown folks and like artists across all disciplines, like all supporting each other. All supporting each other. I can't think of right now, like, okay, so case in point, like Dreamland got invited by the NEA to go to this Creativity in America conference, like Future of Creativity in America, last November, like a few days after Trump's election. And I'm at this table surrounded by all these other like, I guess institution creators, not space creators, because like, yeah, I'm just like, oh, we're Dreamland, you know, you know. And they're like, oh yes, I'm with the Ford Foundation. And yes, I run a small arts institute in Vermont. And it's just me. And they're like, oh, we don't know. Like it was just like this roundtable discussion, which was actually amazing. They were like, what are the things that makes your space like really awesome? And I was like, collaboration. Like, we collaborate with so many other spaces. So for example, like Dreamland and Squeaky Wheel have a really tender standing relationship. And we've also worked with like Sugar City, especially like without Sugar City, we wouldn't exist really. And like, yeah, just various spaces around like Little Punk House is just like, oh, you need a microphone, you need a projector. And like, we were asking like Squeaky for projectors and they would loan it to us, you know, out of like kindness. Cause like we got this awesome Andy Warhol grant. So instead of keeping it all to ourselves, we're gonna actually help like pay for the rights to films to screen at Dreamland. And it's just like, we can't do that on our own, you know? And there was no competition with it, you know? It's just like, we weren't competing for the same grants. And even if like we were, like, it's just like a level of love there that I've never seen. And when I was telling these folks at this NEA conference, they're just like, what? You know, like that does not happen. And Buffalo does that, you know? Like, I mean, you'll probably hate me saying his name, but Andy Zuba from Sugar City, it's like, he was the PA guy for all of frickin' Buffalo's, like, music scene for, like, years, you know? And one day, like, Punk House is, like, our space. We used his PA so frickin' much. And some days we're just like, oh, you know, don't worry about it. Like, we're like, what can we give you? Like, take this juice, you know? That's all we can afford. And one day his PA got stolen from, like, a house show. And literally, like, this army of humans got him that PA back within, like, 24 hours. Yeah. They found where it was being hawked. They assembled the masses. And everyone went ham. There was already, like, talk of, like, buying him a new one, you know, like, quietly. I don't know if Zuba knows this, but, yeah. It was just, like, the people really stand up. And, like, RPA got busted. Like, we blew out the high end from a noise show. And we were, like, on the search for a PA. And, like, Brian Wantux from Wasteland Studios, like, donated a PA to us. And it's unbelievable. Like, this is too good for this space. And he's just like, ba-da, you know? So the community really takes care of itself, which is, like, amazing. It's like, oh, there's, like, roofing drama. Like, our roof is going to cave in. Assemble a show. And, like, people will pour in and, like, give funds, you know? And that's been something I've seen across the board, like, this, like, spirit of helpfulness. Our biggest thing is that we don't want to become an institution because, you know, I love Hall Walls and the work they put on, but they're an institution now, you know? And we may have already, like, passed that point of institutionalization, but, you know, we don't get paid. So that's one of the main reasons we don't do the paying thing. So, yeah, we were talking about killing Dreamland in 5 years to prevent that, but that means that it's like when you're terminally ill, and you're just like, I got 7 months to do all this stuff that I've never done before, and so it gives us a lot more freedom to experiment. Like, we're gonna die anyway, so why hold back? And, yeah, it's just, like, keeping us alive until that time is important, but, like, we've already put on over 550 shows, I think, events across the board, ranging from, like, the multidisciplinary arts across the board, 550, with no federal funding. And we're going to put on maybe 2,500 more. And, yeah, from, like, our schedule coming up from, like, the next few months, like, that's not even going to be a problem.
And so then it all ends?
Yeah. We just signed a 5-year lease, and once that lease is done, we're keeping it open. But this is the thing, like, the pole, outside of safety, the reason we got our 501c3 was other spaces could use the 501c3, because we were really fortunate to get it. So we're going to keep the 501c3 and see who else is doing stuff and help them get access to stuff using our 501c3. So it'll still be this blanket force that other artists and other institutions, not institutions, other artists and other collectives specifically can use without having to lose themselves. So, yeah. Dreamland will live on in the hearts of spaces wherever. I don't know. But, like, it won't be a physical entity, you know?